I'm Emily.
And I'm Hannah.
We are best friends and dietitians. We have a goal of challenging nutrition misinformation and fitness trends with an evidence-based approach.
Each episode, we will dish up our thoughts about the latest facts on a popular health-related topic.
We're the Upbeat Dietitians.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new podcast.
Hello, everyone. We are so excited to talk to you about today's topic. This has been around for quite a bit now, and we've gotten a lot of questions about it, but we're going to be talking about Apple Watches and fitness trackers, Fitbits, Garmins, all maybe even Whoops, all these different kind of more...
Whoops.
Do you not...
No,
have
what's
you never
a whoop?
Heard of Whoop?
No.
Oh my, it's like the new thing. I don't...
Oh, gosh.
Oh my gosh. I don't really understand it, so I probably won't speak on it that much, honestly. But I do know it is trending more recently, so definitely check it out. I also like the name Whoop.
That's pretty cool.
A lot. So yeah. That's very fun. But we're going to be talking about the pros and cons of fitness trackers. And then... kind of our final thoughts, as we always like to end our videos. So yeah,
we got a couple pros. It's mostly going to be cons today. We've got a few pros because they can be useful, and we'll kind of explain why and how, but it's more so going to be us talking about how they can be a slippery slope for some people. And again, like we'll say it a million times today, but if they work for you and you don't experience any of these, cool, like keep using it.
Yeah.
But we're like more so raising awareness to those who don't maybe even notice that the watch is leading to some issues and kind of how to steer clear from that kind of thing.
Yeah. We're going to look at both sides of it.
Yeah.
As always. So let's talk about the pros. So first pro of fitness trackers is they can be very they can be very motivating to get in some type of movement or increase your amounts of movement. They're typically sending you either specific goals for you to hit, either like time wise or let's hit this many days of consecutive exercise, or just kind of getting you to remember like, hey, I'm wearing this tracker, may as well get some more movement in. It's good for that. If maybe you needed some external motivation, it's there for that.
Yeah, exactly. It can be helpful in that way for sure. Yes.
Yeah.
And it can also like increase your awareness. Maybe if you like didn't really realize how sedentary you were, it can help you like notice that kind of thing. Because yeah, we of course do know that being more active is generally going to be a good thing. I have been seeing a lot like on like TikTok and such that when we say it's okay to rest, people are like, oh, but no, it's so important to exercise and get your body active and go to the gym. And like, yeah, that's all true, but doesn't mean you have to like be a slave to the gym and be in there like 7 days a week.
No, exactly. It's, we're talking about rest days. We're not saying like rest.
Don't ever exercise ever again.
Yeah, like exercise is bad. No, it's give your body some break to recover.
It needs
to recover.
So like these apps can help you if you didn't quite realize how sedentary you were being. It could perhaps show you, oh, I actually do only get like 400 steps a day. How can I improve that?
Yeah,
and kind of increase the awareness.
Yes. I feel like it's especially nice with a lot of desk jobs. We don't really realize how long we're sitting for. So I know I can speak best upon like Apple Watches since I have one, where they'll send you a reminder like, go stand up. A good reminder to not sit for 8 hours straight.
Yes.
Would not be the worst thing to stand up or go get some water, go to the bathroom or something, essentially. The next pro is helps with goal setting and accountability. There are specialized goals with like different apps, and there's kind of depending on the month, sometimes they have different goals around that. And that's kind of fun to do something maybe a little bit different, but also since you're checking in and it's tracking information, it might help you get to that goal or feel a little bit more motivated to do the goal and help with that accountability piece, since something's going to be reminding you to work toward that goal. So that can help as well if you also need another external source of accountability in that standpoint. And
yeah, I go to the last one. So the last one is that it can help you to connect with others and build community. I don't have an Apple Watch, but if I'm wrong, let me know. But I'm pretty sure you can like follow friends, and like if they do a workout, like you get notified, right?
Yep.
So that could be a cool way to like help with that accountability and motivation, as long as we'll get this as a con, as long as it's not like leading to like some comparisonitis or like you feeling guilty if your friend Sally closed her rings, but you didn't.
Yeah. Which I can personally speak on, because I initially would get stressed that like my friends would see my like running times and be like, Emily is a snail, which no one is thinking that. Like, also, if anyone thought that, I probably wouldn't be friends with them in the first place. So, yeah. But it's fun to kind of send the little like messages like, great job. Or, you killed it. And also, I think Fitbit might have a little bit better of a community setting. I haven't looked into Fitbit in a while, but I know they used to have more kind of group platforms to like share your fitness goals, interact with others, bond, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
So definitely there are good things and benefits to fitness trackers. We're not here to poo-poo on it completely.
Poo-poo.
But we want to make sure it doesn't become toxic in any way.
Yeah.
So let's start with the first con. So
that's so scary. Like,
I'm just setting it up.
What's going to come out of her mouth next? My gosh. These will make you die.
No, I don't think fitness trackers are lethal.
I hope not. Otherwise, this would be a different podcast episode.
I agree. It's a little bit more tame than like our Herbalife one, where there was like liver.
There actually were deaths. Yeah.
Yeah. None recorded here that I know of.
Probably is somewhere, but I didn't find those. So
maybe
those
indirectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Let's talk about the first one anyway. So, one of the first cons is compulsively tracking health data can affect your mental health if you are constantly thinking about it. That we talk about preoccupation with food a lot, the preoccupation with our fitness and physical activity levels, kind of thinking about, oh my gosh, I have to fill my rings, I have to hit my step goals. That can lead to more stress just thinking about it, and then lead to mental health issues. If like maybe you didn't hit the goal and then you feel a little bit more guilty or upset with yourself, it's going to be causing some more problems there, which we do not. We want good mental health for all of you.
Yeah. And like we always say, the stress about not doing a workout, or the stress of eating a cookie on the other side, is like worse for your health than just like not doing the workout or eating the cookie.
Exactly.
Like stress is no bueno for our health.
No.
All right. Our next one is that a lot of these trackers give many like one size fits all goals. The biggest one we often think about is that 10,000 steps a day, which we did debunk more thoroughly in our episode 61, our fitness myths part 3. We kind of discussed like where this 10K a day comes from. So we'll kind of cover that briefly, but give the episode a listen if you want to hear more. But this like 10K steps a day is like not a scientifically based number. It just is a marketing tactic they used to sell pedometers in like the 1960s. So by no means is it like, if you get that many steps per day, you're going to be this like fit, healthy person. It may or may not be a good goal for you. Perhaps it's too low or too high. And again, like it's great to set goals for yourself and like try to work towards things, but just because like your fitness tracker says you have to get 10,000 a day does not mean it's really true. And I think with most of them too, you can change the goals, right? Like you could make it lower or higher. So it's actually for your needs.
Yeah. Yeah. And we actually talked about this a little bit in one of our HK classes, where we did a little experiment comparing fitness trackers, and they weren't even completely all accurate with like the amount of steps you took. So you could be hitting your fitness or your step goal, but maybe the fitness tracker isn't reflecting that because it's just not that accurate, which is crazy to me. But
I know I would be like at the gym and doing like up and down, like a bicep curl, for example, and it would count the bicep curls as steps. So yeah. Like, it's still like, it's obviously great that I'm doing bicep curls. Like, I'm still moving my body, but mm-hmm. I wasn't getting my steps.
No, you weren't walking around bicep curls.
Exactly. Although you never know in a public gym what you're going to see. That could definitely be a possibility.
That's true. To each their own. We don't know. Yeah. We don't know. So kind of, we want to make sure these goals are a little bit more individualized to you. Maybe the 10K step goal isn't great for you. Maybe it needs to be higher or lower, or maybe we need to do something with a little bit lower intensity. If 10Ks can be a little bit too extreme. So kind of going back to the desk job example, maybe standing up more at your desk, like, or standing up every hour or every other hour could be a more reasonable goal, or parking farther away from your office building or wherever you're working from to walk a little bit farther, or even playing with your dog, your kids could also get in some great movement. Those both have lots of energy, so you'll definitely be moving around a lot, so it'll be good. But we want to make it a little bit more individualized to you, and that's something that you kind of know yourself best. You know where you are right now, fitness level, and you don't have to follow the initial goal that a fitness tracker gives you. It's better that they're allowing you to change it. That's good.
Yeah. And like, walking is so good for you. So like, we advocate for walking and movement. And if you can get 10K a day, cool. But like, that may or may not be what you have to do or should do, or it's best for you. It's just an arbitrary number.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe you hate walking.
Yeah.
And it could be something, a completely different fitness goal. So something to kind of keep in mind. Definitely listen to our myth or fact episode where we talk a little bit more about this in depth though. Let's talk about the next con that I kind of alluded to a little bit earlier. So a lot of people experience guilt if they don't hit the fitness goal that their fitness tracker has, whether this is not filling their weight rings, the step goal, exercise minute goal, whatever it is. Experiencing guilt will affect your relationship with exercise, and we want to have great relationships with exercise, like we talk about with food as well. We want to have good relationships with both of those. And it's important that you know you do not need to quantify your exercise to be worthy or be considered, like, I don't know, healthy or whatnot. You don't need to track it and hit the specific goal to feel good about yourself. Like, you're doing great as is. Any movement's good movement, as we always emphasize. And you do not need to be wearing your watch for exercise to count. And I know this is something that a lot of people struggle with a lot. Yes. Where like, they will intentionally like, oh my gosh, I didn't have my watch to track it. It didn't count toward my workouts. It didn't count toward my rings. It didn't count toward my goal. And then they get stressed out about it, even though they still got out there and moved,
yeah,
which was great. At the end of the day, like, you hit your goal. It just wasn't tracked. And that's something where we've developed a little bit of a dependence on the watch with that. And you do not need to be movement without your watch is still movement.
Yeah.
Even if it's not recorded.
Have you seen the TikToks of the people who put their watch around their ankles, like while they're on like their walking treadmills, like while they're working?
No.
Yeah. They like have to have it on, but it's like bothering them on their wrist. So they put it around their ankle instead. So it like has to count their steps. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That's no bueno.
And like, again, like, it's great to have goals and like better yourself, but
yeah, but not everything has obsessive. To count towards it. Yeah.
And like, you're still getting your steps, whether you are wearing a watch that tells you you did or not.
Yeah.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
It's okay though. It's good to one, reflect on this, and then yes. Two, like, do I have this relationship with my fitness tracker? And if you don't, great. If you do, let's reflect on it and then maybe challenge some of those thoughts.
Yeah.
And work from there.
I stopped wearing mine because it was like becoming this thing where like I had to get my step goal and like close my little rings. I had a Samsung watch, but it's very similar.
Yeah.
Back in my LG or my my Android days. I've now switched to Apple in case anyone wants to come after me. We both had an Android era.
We did both have an Android era.
I think I switched after you switched because you convinced me.
Yeah. Well, I went iPhone and then I went Android and then I went back to iPhone.
Same. My first smartphone was an iPhone like 4 or something.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
I couldn't even tell you what a 4 looks like.
I found it in my parents' house last like Christmas. I think I was there hanging out. It's so like brick-like and it had like the home button.
The home buttons.
But it never worked. So I'd like do the weird screen thing where you'd like block it from the screen.
Yeah.
And like the picture quality's terrible.
It was rough.
Rough.
They've come a long ways.
There were not Apple Watches back when the iPhone 4 was out.
Yeah. Yeah. I was the same way where I was like, oh my gosh, I have to wear my watch all the time. But then I started having my ears issues was just not associated with the watch. I only wear mine now when I work out because I like to see where my little route was on Strava. Oh, yeah. But that's fun. I was like, oh my gosh, look, I ran around a lake. That's literally why I wear it. Not even like I could not care anything about like anything. Yeah. Like, it's like, I just want to see my routes.
Yeah.
But I know I've actually had conversations with like a lot of my friends who are like, I cannot take off my watch.
I know. One time at work, we did like a step challenge and I knew it was going to be a terrible idea. It was not my idea, but I had to participate. And of course, it was terrible for me. I like had to wear the watch constantly. I'm very competitive, so I do not like to lose.
Gosh.
You tell me you're going to beat me in something and I will make sure I beat you. That was not good. Yeah. So I like, that was my last little hoorah. And then I was like, this is enough. Like, this does not matter. There's like not even a prize. Like, it's just like, we all just decided just to like do a step challenge together because we all wanted to just be more active or something. Red flag.
Yes. Red flag right there.
I would like make myself like do an extra walk, even though I was like freaking exhausted because I had to beat everyone at work. So stupid. I'm very competitive. I don't like being bad at things. I hate losing. I need to like get back in like a sport, like a competitive sport where I can like
you
push people over.
Like,
that's why I like soccer so much.
I was gonna say you need to find a recreational soccer league.
I know.
And then I feel like you'd thrive.
My dad actually, he's gonna hear this because he always listens to the podcast, but he invited me to be on his volleyball league this fall, but it's on Thursday nights and I have like things every Thursday from like now until like basically the end of the year, so it won't work, but that'd be good for me. I need something to do like that where I'm just able to like slam some balls and get pumped about stuff.
Yeah,
I need to release that somewhere.
Yes,
so if you were like me and your workplace did like a weight loss challenge or a step challenge and it was not good for you, it's not your fault, but do reflect on it and see what was not good about it for you.
Yeah. And if you can put that energy elsewhere.
Exactly. Imagine how much more I could have got done otherwise. I could have done like so much cleaning or something if I wasn't stressed about getting my stupid steps in. Or just like rested. I could have also just rested, but
you could have rest. You
we
could
won't unpack
like
my productivity
have some more
issues.
Hobbies. Like, that's okay.
We won't
a common
unpack that
theme
here.
We talk about.
Yes. We all know I have an issue with sitting still. Okay. Anyway, our next issue with the trackers, like we've kind of already touched on, they're not always very accurate. So they do often track heart rate. And I will say that one's usually pretty close to being, you know, that one's pretty easy to calculate. I mean, it's like checking your pulse. So that one's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
But they also often estimate your calorie needs as well, like especially calories burned. This one is often so far off. So like, for example, if you are someone who is counting calories and you are adding calories back from what your watch says your calories burned were, first of all, this insinuates that you have to earn your calories by doing exercise, which is not the case. But it also likely is not accurate. So you could be either very much overeating or undereating what your actual calorie need is because this watch is telling you that you burned X amount, which may or may not be accurate.
Yeah. And it's typically based off of like the duration you'd put in. If you selected a specific type of exercise, it's going to kind of cater to that. And then also your heart rate's going to be a big one. And I have not the greatest health, but my heart rate skyrockets all the time. So my watch thinks I'm like working out super intensely, but I'm just not I don't regularly work out as much as I would like to. So that's why it's not the greatest reflection. It's like, oh my gosh, she's really pushing herself. No, she's just like,
she's just stressed.
Just die on that run. That is why it is happening. So it's something, yeah, it's just not accurate. And it's not good to kind of base it off of that. Like the best way to measure calories would be, we'd put you in this little area and we'd measure your changes in heat as you like worked out, but that's just not, I don't know anyone who's done that.
Unless it's also you are expensive and you can't do it every day. And like, if you did it Monday, it would be different than if you did it on Wednesday.
Yes. It's kind of like I'm not really a big fan of those features.
I've told my bod pod story, haven't I, on here?
Yes, you have.
I was like faking in front of the class.
You have. I don't know when we talked about that.
Go find it. It's in one of these podcast archives where I explain the story of how I was naked in front of the entire class, basically, to do the bod pod to get my BMR calculated, and then didn't even work.
Yeah. Very disappointing.
No.
Yeah.
But I should get like a cut on my tuition for that.
We're going back to Purdue. Maybe we can get you in there.
Oh, yeah. We should ask Rachel if I could do the
pod. That would be actually so fun.
I'll tell her the whole story about how like I need this. It was traumatizing. It would just.
You made me strip in front of the entire class. No, I didn't know my BMR.
Yeah.
I need to know my BMR.
So and back then I was like very into like calories and hitting the gym obsessively.
So maybe it was a blessing in disguise.
That's true. Maybe it would have like sent me into a downward spiral even more if I had known my BMR.
Thank you, Purdue. Was actually looking out for you.
Yeah, the lady that was doing it probably knew I had issues. She's like, okay, we're just gonna say it's broken.
Pressing buttons, like boop, turning boop, it boop. Off and on. Yeah, we're just setting it off.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway.
Essentially, calories are not super accurate. And then also what goes along with it with like the whole like earning calories through exercise is just not a route we want to go down, because it might not even be accurate. You might be under eating, you might be overeating. We're not listening to those hunger and fullness cues because we're just kind of looking at a number, especially if you're tracking that can distort those hunger and fullness cues as well. And we don't want that. Something I wanted to note that is not accurate, and this is actually a pet peeve I personally have with Apple, is the minutes are not accurate of how much time, like on one of the rings is like how many minutes you exercise. And I have exercised well beyond, like I put in my little workout and then it should transfer over to the rings, like, but it does not.
Yeah.
Oftentimes it is more determined by your heart rate. So I've been doing like lower, I'm assuming other people have experienced this where you're doing like lower intensity workouts where your heart rate just isn't going up and it doesn't count it toward your exercise rank.
What?
So like,
if you're like it's doing like some tricep dips, like your heart rate's not going to get that high.
No, but it doesn't always count it. Maybe it'll count like half of it or like three quarters of it, but it doesn't count the entire time. And I'm like,
that's dumb. That like insinuates that like only like cardio counts as exercise.
Exactly. Where your heart rate is like skyrocketing or like much higher. And then that's like, this is when exercise counts. No, that's not true. You don't have to be exhausted and pushing yourself to have it count as exercise.
That's dumb. I didn't know it did that.
Yes. It is a pet peeve I have, because on the contrary, I have actually a very funny story. I feel like I talked about this at one point, but I don't know if I actually did. I have gone to Purdue basketball games is when it would happen more, because I would be more stressed during those. there was a game, my heart rate, we were playing Michigan State, and it was like a really good game. But I get like easily riled up during sporting events, not like yelling, but like I started sweating and stressing out. It thought I did an 80-100 minute workout when literally I was sitting.
Emily's like burning more calories than actual athletes on the court.
I literally was sitting in a stadium watching a sporting event, and it thought I was working out. And I hit my exercise goal.
Wow.
I hit my calorie goal. I literally did not work out that day. Like the most I did was you know, when you'd stand up when something happened, you clap. Yeah. That is what I was doing.
Oh man.
And it would happen maybe every couple minutes or so, but no, I was not working out. My heart rate was just through the roof because Purdue sports gives me like a heart attack.
Yeah.
And I hit my exercise goal. Wow. And my calorie goal, because I was unwell during the game.
That's so awesome.
That just shows like it is not accurate. Literally, no. Imagine if someone like us both, very anxious individuals, just living their life, their devices.
My heart rate's always high. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So it's just
I'm constantly stressed about something.
Literally, same.
It's a problem.
And yeah, it's just. Not accurate.
I mean, I guess we are basically always in like a fat burning heart rate because of stupid anxiety.
Literally, our fitness trackers, I'm like, yes,
yeah,
look at them constantly.
They're
working
so
out.
Fit.
No, I'm just no. Unwell.
This
mentally.
Is a mental disorder.
We're not doing well. So that's one of my biggest peeves. Oof. One of the biggest beefs. Piece of beef I have.
That's hilarious. Okay. It just thinks that you are just like doing jump lunges.
No,
you're just watching Purdue basketball.
I'm watching Purdue basketball.
That's so great.
Oh yeah.
All right, we've got two more cons, and they're all very related, but this next one is that these trackers can make it difficult to assess what type of exercise your body actually wants or needs, or if like a rest day would even be more beneficial for you, because like with the app, again, like my understanding, I don't have one, but, or like with the tracker, it like has, like it wants you to close your rings like every day, right?
Yep.
But like, what if you need a rest day? Like, what if your body is like exhausted, you're low energy, and like doing exercise will actually just like make you feel worse than if you just rested?
Yeah.
So it kind of gives you that idea that like no days off mentality, which we know is not great. Or like Emily kind of said, like, what if you don't want to do like high heart rate stuff? Like what if you want to like lift some weights pretty low intensity or do some yoga? Mm-hmm. It may not help you reach your step goal, but it's still going to be really, really great movement for your body.
Yeah. And we encourage getting different types of movement. And so you work those different muscle groups and you also don't overstress your body from one specific type, just doing like high intensity or something like that.
Yeah.
I never really thought about that, honestly, how like it would give you the same goal every single day. And
yeah.
I never really hit it because that was very inconsistent.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't include like you're going to obviously naturally burn calories because you are alive and organs are functioning and you're probably moving
breathing.
At some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just not inclusive of all those different types of days that you would probably need.
And like on those days that you don't hit your 10,000 steps or close your rings or whatever, it's probably going to say you burned less calories. And so you have to eat less. And it's a vicious cycle that way too.
Yeah. And you'll feel sad you didn't hit your rings because
it
sends a little celebratory thing when you do. So
yeah.
You don't get that reinforcement.
There needs to be one that's just like, you survived today.
You got through the day. Good. Maybe that's what we'll make. Let's completely shift gears. And we're just going to give good quotes for like, you made it through today.
You ate a meal. You drank some water. You
we're
did
proud
great.
Of you. You got out of bed. You brushed your teeth. Honestly, I feel like I would like thrive from the brushing your teeth.
I on hate like that. Brushing my teeth.
Same.
I think I've mentioned this before on here. Like, I hate it. I do it.
Oh, yeah.
Ask Ross. Like, I hate brushing my teeth.
Same.
I don't know what it is.
Babe, I hate flossing.
There's this book I want you to read and everyone else to read. It's called How to, I want to get this right. Hang on. Let me pull up my Hoopla because I'm currently renting it.
Let me add it to my Goodreads.
It's also very short because it's like made for those who like struggle with those, like those care tasks, like trying to like make those happen. So it's like
bad at self-care.
Yes. It's like a short book because of that. It's called How to Keep House While Drowning. And there's a free audio version on Hoopla. If you have like a local library.
Is it A Gentle Approach to Cleaning and Organizing by Casey Davis? Okay.
It talks about how like, why are we folding our underwear kind of stuff? Like, like there are bigger battles to fight. And like, if you struggle with the care task of brushing your teeth, here's what you can do to like set a goal for yourself to make that happen more and things like that. It's really, really good. I really like it so far.
Self-care is something that is not, I feel like we talk about self-care, but it's like whenever we see self-care on social media or media, it's always like this extravagant process and it doesn't.
That's what she says. She's like, you don't have to have like all the organizational like bins unless you want to, then go for it. But like, make it functional for you so you actually can like keep up with whatever that form of self-care is.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. Good read. I'm like halfway through it so far. I've been listening to it while I do like house stuff.
Very on brand.
Yes, it is. That says so much.
It's okay. It's okay. It's a work in progress.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm like listening to this book about like slowing the hell down while I'm
tasks.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's okay. It's good to reflect. Good to reflect.
I'm learning.
Yes. The last con we have is that attachment that can develop between yourself and the device. So kind of going back to what we've talked about already is like, have you always felt the need to wear the device or track your progress? Do you feel like you can't work out unless you have it? Or sometimes that takes away the enjoyment of working out and kind of it simplifies sometimes working out to just like a quantitative measure, like calories burns, minutes completed. I know in Whoop, there's like some, what's it called? I should know this. I've been hearing people talk about more, but there's like some type of like exertion factor or something, like probably that. There's also a recovery rate, I know. So maybe that as well, but it's kind of just like reducing it to a number sometimes when exercise can do be so much more like that. For example, hiking is very fun for me. Can't speak for everyone, but if I just like thought about hiking as a quantitative value, I just see like, oh, you spent this much time walking around. I don't really think about like the sights you see. You're kind of like invite like a new place to explore or like bonding with others. It takes away those components as well and just kind of reduces it to nothing, which kind of goes along with like calorie tracking, honestly, where it takes away the enjoyment around food and things and just reduces it to a number.
Exactly. It takes away like culture and memories and celebrations and emotions. It's just like food is just calories. Yeah. You're a robot.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. We've got one last one. It's very quick and to the point, and it's that these can be expensive. So that's really it.
Yes.
It makes you seem or feel maybe that if you can't afford this, then your exercise doesn't count because you're not wearing some fancy dancy watch. And that's obviously untrue.
No, you did not. This is not a necessity.
No, it is you a luxury. And even with that, it's not even necessary or helpful for those who can't afford it or want to afford it.
Yeah, you do not need this.
No.
At all.
No. In fact, it might be a good idea not to get it if you think any of the things we've discussed today might be the case for you.
Exactly that. Yeah. Cool. So let's talk about our final thoughts. So there are pros way back when we talked about them, and they can. Fitness trackers can be helpful to some individuals, but they're not really meant to be like heavily relied upon. And a lot of the features are estimations, as we talked about, not super accurate. And we don't want to, if you like, do want to keep using your watch, We have a couple tips for you. So first one being is do not pay attention to the calories burned. This is so inaccurate. You didn't get it from the low intensity remarks about the different types of exercise. My story when I was stressed and I burned so many calories from stress, even though I was not burning calories, I was just anxious.
Like, it doesn't know like how much muscle mass you have versus fat mass or any of that either.
Yeah, I think it takes into account your height and weight at most, but that changes day to day.
Yeah.
Also, there's not that body composition side of it. So the calorie part could easily, we could start a petition right now. Let's get rid of the calorie part. I don't think we need that.
No.
Next little tidbit for if you do want to continue using your watch is incorporating weight bearing exercise. This doesn't emphasize the steps and the calories burned as oftentimes like cardio is often more paired with. But there are many health benefits with this. We probably talk about this many times. I know we talk about it with, I'm probably our one of the myth or fact episodes. We have three of them, so go listen to all three.
Yes.
We probably also talk about it with like Brendan, Damien, Elias, Steve. Go check out any of our episodes with any of our personal training friends. They all talk about various reasons of importance of resistance training and whatnot. And you'll get to hear all their different opinions on it. So that'll be good. And the last little tip would be do not become obsessed. And that's something where like, let's start with reflection right now. Let's just start with, do I feel attached to this? Do I feel like I could do a workout with this? Do I feel like even a workout? Do I feel like I could go a day not wearing my watch? Let's start there.
Yeah.
Reflect on that. Challenge some of those thoughts. And something we can work toward is like remembering this is just a tool. This is not a lifeline. You do not need this. It is not essential to life. It's more of a luxury. And even then, maybe it won't help you if you know you're a little bit more prone to kind of those obsessive thoughts.
Yeah, it could be a luxury that is harming you. Dun, dun, dun.
That was so awful.
My voice is like all scratchy too. I don't know where that came from.
What is happening? Yeah. Those are final thoughts.
I agree. Okay, the bonus question I'm excited about. I like thought of it while I was like working on the outline for this because it's very on theme.
Yes.
Okay, bonus question. Emily, you go first as you're the one who does more outside workouts. Would you rather, do you hear my voice? I'm like getting all raspy.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I'm like, are you sick? Are you good?
I just had.
Are you sleeping enough?
I just ate. I always sleep enough, but I just ate something and I think it's just food. Okay.
Question about sleep.
I'm usually sleeping plenty. Question is, would you rather exercise in really cold weather or really hot weather?
Yes. I'm strongly opinionated on this because I have worked out in negative 10 degree weather and I worked out in like 110 degree weather. So I would rather do cold because you can wear more layers.
True.
And at some point you just start, you become numb. So you don't feel it anymore.
That's true.
On the hot side, I hiked in Arizona in July. I have fainted once before, not related to this, but I thought I was going to faint again. Mm. It was literally like I was stripping to like shorts and sports bra. I was drinking so much water and nothing was working. I literally was like getting lightheaded. I thought I was going to faint. I wasn't sure if I was going to throw up and there was nothing I could do about it. Well, maybe you could have like more access to liquids if you were like not going out far somewhere, but
yeah,
it was miserable because you just keep sweating and then you're gross and then everything's heavy. And I did not experience the numbing feeling I felt with cold.
Yeah. Or it's kind of like your second wind almost.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm team very cold.
My experience comes from when I played soccer, like in high school, especially. And I also have played soccer in like the snow and also in like Indiana, July and August, where it's like 100 degrees. I don't know. I just like really hate being cold, like so much, just generally speaking, I hate being cold. And so I would always just like not have a good time playing in the cold. But when it is exercise, you do get warm as you exercise. So that I might have to agree with you on the cold one, but I don't know. I also feel like I have a higher tolerance for heat because I hate being cold so much.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. I think if you have plenty of access to water and you can like rest whenever you need to, I would definitely choose hot. But I think it's more dangerous for most people to like do intense exercise in hot weather because heat exhaustion and heat strokes and all those are very, very real and scary. Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess I'm kind of on the line as always, but
yeah,
I will just say generally I like being hot more than cold.
Yeah, I would agree though. Like I need to be like a little reptile under a heat lamp at all times.
Same. I hate being cold.
Same. I would like rather be uncomfortably hot than cold. But in the case of exercise, I probably would have said hot before, honestly, if I hadn't hiked in Arizona. And then I experienced that. I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever experienced in my entire life. Granted, the cold example, I was running. So it was like a little bit different, I guess.
Yeah. And like I said, you kind of, you'll get warm eventually if you're doing exercise. Yes. Like with soccer, I would be like freezing at first, but then you start playing the game and you warm up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like with hot, you just keep getting hotter.
Yeah. It's not getting colder.
Yeah.
No matter how much you sweat.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
I think just the bottom line is we like to be warm. And if we ever were to like run an office together where we just like did our podcast all day, it'd be like 80 degrees in our office.
Oh yeah. It would not be cold. No, we would be, it would be very warm.
We'd have like complimentary slippers for our guests and like blankets.
Yeah. They'll be like, it's so hot in here. I'm like, yes.
Yes.
It's great.
Got our hot tea and we're just like bundled up. And I live with a man who likes to be cold. So it's a constant battle around here.
Oh my gosh. No, I don't know what Bobby's like.
Yeah. I was going to say, what is Bobby like?
I don't know.
I guess you both like don't really get the opportunity to have full control over your thermostat. So
no, I could not.
That'll be an interesting thing when you guys move in.
We'll see if we fight.
Ooh, it's a we've been married for almost 3 years and it's still a constant fight. So it's fine.
Not one that will break you up, which is good.
No, it's just who can be the most petty and like increase without the other one noticing.
Yes. That's so funny. Okay. I don't think I
like
have
that question
about this. I do too. That
I thought
a
it was
question.
A different approach.
Yeah. I don't think I've heard about people being like hot or cold, but I haven't heard about it in exercise. This was good.
Yeah.
Nice and specified. Look at us.
I know. Specific. I always try to get them to like match the theme. Sometimes they just don't make any sense, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
But I try to get them to kind of match. Like the Beachbody one where I threw in the, what was my question? Oh, the fries and the shake.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like Shakeology. Yes. So I tried to like incorporate a similarity there.
Because you guys really care.
I know. If they probably didn't even get this far. They've been long gone since like we talked about Emily's basketball story probably. Or my bod pod story for the fifth time.
Probably like skipping like, yep, I know she was upset and I know she stripped. Yep.
Hannah has anxiety about not sitting down. Cool. We already know
Hannah
this.
task at once. We're going to skip them.
Thanks, guys, for hanging out if you made it this far. Or if you didn't, we appreciate you for even just clicking in the first place.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming here.
Yeah.
We should let them go.
We should let you go.
We should.
We're just hanging on by a thread at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So go watch those other, go listen to those other videos or watch them on YouTube and then do some reflection. It's always fun.
Cool. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We will see you in episode 74.
Alrighty. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in on this episode of the Upbeat Dietitians with your hosts, Emily Krause and Hannah Thompson.
We appreciate you all so much for continuing to support us. In order to support us and sustain the success of this podcast, please subscribe and leave a rating and review.
If you'd like to provide us feedback for future episodes and guest stars, follow us on Instagram at The Upbeat Dietitians.
Lastly, you can show us support by providing a monthly donation using the link at the end of our bio.
Once again, thank you so much for listening today, and stay tuned next Wednesday for a new episode. Until then, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.